We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Chris, you want to chime in, buddy?
Absolutely. So, a few years ago, when I, like, rededicated my life to the weird, yours, Banal of America, was one of the first podcasts I latched onto, and I was, like, listened to literally almost all the back episodes within probably 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
I had to keep a job and, you know,
right.
I was, and all that. But I really like your frequently irreverent take on it.
Imagine that. Banal, Tim Banal being irreverent.
For a possibly blue take on a few of them. But, like, the real broad-spectrum, weird Fortiana that you brought into it, rather than just, it's conspiracy all day, this.
Right,
and,
right.
You had a broad range of interests, and you came at it with a real focused, intelligent topic, and you could tell that you had read the pieces and knew the work of the people you were talking to. And you don't get that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I really appreciated that.
Well, thanks.
And so I'm, like, super stoked to see what happens next.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I know you bring it to the next level, man. You know, you work hard.
Yeah, so. I mean,
And Chris is a charter member of Paramania 2016 in Dallas.
Yes. So.
And Chris Charbonneau has been weird a lot longer than he will.
But
in the best way possible.
I do want to, like, as for Paramania, I was so excited to be able to, like, meet people. I listened to their podcasts. Changed a lot of my way of thinking, especially toward the UFO topic. You know, and that's Radio Mysterioso really drove that piece for me. But I was stoked to meet Joshua Cutcham. Yeah, I'm fucking up. And Red Pill, because like Red Pill's writings on the Daily Grail, I didn't put the two and two together until I actually met him at Paramania.
What a disappointment.
Miguel Romero is the best thinker without a book.
Yeah. Yes.
And Steve gave me the stink eye here.
You know, phenomenal artwork.
Great artwork.
Something tells me Steve's probably already written books. We just don't know.
Look up "Absurd by Design" on Zazzle and buy some T-shirts for heaven's sake. Jeez.
Or you can buy portraits. The delightful, like, customized portraits that Miguel does. Those are like a powerhouse buy if you want customized.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, they're
great. I feel.
I really think we should push you into doing a book.
Who's that?
You know, Red Pill.
It could happen.
It would be a unique viewpoint from outside of the United States. We're very, I don't want to say close-minded, but we're very
insular.
Insular. Thank you.
Well,
and we need someone from a cultural philosophy that is very different from ours to speak to those ideas, whether it's Bigfoot or UFOs or anything else, because he has an entirely different cultural take on it than we do.
And I've been putting pressure on Miguel like an earthquake fault. It's just like tighter. Someday it's going to be like this huge earthquake and a book's going to come out of it.
Okay, first of all, thank you all for the kind words. And second, it's not to shoot down the whole concept of writing a book, but if podcasts like Banal of America have shown is that there are more than one way to reach out to people and disseminate cool information. Let's be honest. Nobody has time to read anymore.
Right, right.
Know? Sorry, I mean, but it's true. I mean, if someone
is...
nobody makes time to read anymore.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Yes. Although, to be fair, in terms of, like, readership, people are reading now more than any point in history. People are reading all the poems. Literacy rate is actually...
for, like, 100 or 200 words.
Right. They're reading shorter amounts of time. But in terms of, like, long-form reading, you're right. They're choosing not to read that.
But my point is that with podcasts like Banal of America, Radio Mysterioso, Where Did the Road Go? Shout out to Soraya, you know, and many other people, you know, Micah Hanks, brilliant report, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I won't be able to name all of the podcasts that you should be listening to, but
where'd the road go? Sorry.
But we live in an interesting time, you know. We live in times that ancient people will consider us gods in a way that, because we have so much information at our fingerprints. And
right.
If you're not educating yourself and expanding your horizons, you know, whether it's through this or even literally, I mean, by traveling to meet people and daring to, you know, actually make this face-to-face connection, which I highly recommend, because there's only so much that you can do with just electronic communications, then, well, you know, you are losing out. You are not really making the most of this wonderful technology that is the internet.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And, yeah, I'm just trying to, like, get all my mental notes out there, because, like I said, this is the last show. I feel like I don't talk about my work with Coast to Coast very often, but they deserve huge thanks. If not, there would be no Banal America without Coast to Coast.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I am one of the luckiest people you will ever meet. Like, I am so lucky, and it's thanks to them. So, you know. You know, I fell ass backwards into a sweet gig, and it's, you know, they've kept it, you know, they kept me going, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know they get a lot of shit because they're the big dog, but that's how it is, man. So I can't thank those folks enough.
Yep, pioneers take the arrows, right?
There you go. You got something to say, Jim?
Well, I was totally into Banal before Banal was cool.
Oh my god. Armenia hipsters. And y'all should listen closely. This might be one of the last cigarettes that Tim lights on the air coming up in just a couple seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, before, yeah. Let me just chop on you, Jim. Yeah, I apologize to all the people sitting around me here, because you're getting the full Banal experience by lots of secondhand smoke.
Smoking is cool.
Yeah. So, for anyone who might be allergic to smoke, I apologize.
Death by Banal.
Yeah, kind of the equivalent of Heaven's Gate. You know?
Secondhand podcasting.
So, yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Sound off, Jim.
Because we were just talking about how you used to have to download the show in two parts and put them together. And I don't really remember, but I think I found your show through a post from RPJ, where he said, oh, Banal's talking to somebody over here. You're welcome. Yeah,
one of my best promoters. So,
and what I liked early on was your style, that it was just very, like, you let the people talk.
Right.
And back when you used to answer people's email, like fan mail,
people
would write in and be like, this wasn't a paranormal show. You'd be like, I do shows that I think are interesting. So
right.
Don't listen.
You know what, I want to. I don't even care anymore.
You know, people complain about the baseball show, and it's like, well, don't listen to that one.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Those are my favorite.
And then I also don't know if it's true, but I might be the first fan who made the pilgrimage to BOA HQ.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah. You're one of them, definitely. One of the first.
Because I was in the neighborhood, and I sent you an email, and I said, hey, I'm going to be in the neighborhood. And he's like, yeah, come on over. So it turned out that I was 4 hours away, but that was all right. And I got there, and you're like, holy shit, I thought you were someone else. I would have been nicer to you.
That's a true story.
This requires a story.
That's what he says to all the girls.
Oh, but then, and then we went out to that sports bar.
Yes.
And we started talking, and you said that, you find it interesting about your guests. You want to know why they're interested in what they're interested in.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I thought is, and I thought, that's why. That's why the show is so good. Because you're interested in what they're interested in.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it makes it really genuine. So.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, I pretty much like just about every guest we had on the show. There was never any, you know, maybe, like I said, I can count on one hand. Yes, I can count on one hand. Yes. I can count on one hand maybe the guests where I was like, oh, shit. But otherwise, it was great, you know.
Well, that's due to you. You can take something. You do what a good radio host does. If stuff starts to get uninteresting, you steer it imperceptibly back to being interesting.
I try to. Yeah.
One of the first things that caught me about Bienal of America was the passion that you projected out of your voice, you know, for these topics. I have to say, you know, to be honest, now that we are on the level, there was a time when I felt that you were starting to fall into a bit of cynicism.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I remember when you started to do end of the year reviews with this.
Those are always cynical, yes.
Yeah. I started to feel a bit of cynicism and I said, this is not the Bienal.
Ufology breeds cynicism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he was just frustrated. Like all of us.
Yeah, sure. Everybody at some point falls into that.
The answer isn't coming. You don't know what to do.
Yeah. Sorry. Right, right.
That's not an unhealthy phase.
Yeah,
no, it's part of the
you need
learning.
To go through it, my son.
Disclosure was coming when Nimoy was doing In Search of.
So, yeah, yeah.
Good and you know.
And I was just telling somebody the other day, I don't even know if you remember this.
He asked me how the audio was, and I said, it's good and it's salvageable at the other end.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this. I was just telling somebody the other day.
Exactly.
Somebody wrote into you and complained about your swearing.
Yeah, oh,
you
yeah.
You came up with your sliding swear scale, where it's like nothing funnier than a 4 or 5 year old swearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you get to be like 12, 13, you got to knock that shit off.
Exactly. Exactly.
Once you find out what it, you know what it means.
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
And then you can pick it up again.
At 12 years old.
Right, yeah. So, that's it. I think I've had my say.
All right. Next at bat. Far.
Far.
Far number one. You want to do a double far?
Mrs.
Far.
A double far? A double far? Maybe too far.
Just one far, right?
Far too far.
So,
I'm
Zach Farr.
He is lending us his Wi-Fi. I mean, his
yeah, that's right. This is the.
This
I think this
broadcast.
Is
I
the,
like last year too,
the second
you?
Year that Paramania has been saved by my dad's data plan. Thanks, Dad. I don't know what to say other than it's already been said, but you know. It's been said already that Tim was a gateway drug into this. I grew up on listening to Art Bell and George Norrie in 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and enjoyed that. But, you know, around 2005, 2004, early, mid-2000s, I actually discovered Tim's show via a Daily Grill post. Which I think may have been RPJ. May
you
have
owe
been...
me a drink, man.
I know, I know. Well, I don't want to cut you off. Yeah, I said this a few weeks ago, but it bears mentioning here on the last show. I already said how hugely influential Coast to Coast was with my career. Also, The Anomalist and Daily Grail were the two.
Mm-hmm.
Those sites put Bienal of America on the map.
Yeah. Shout out to Greg Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for The Daily Grail and The Anomalist. You know, I don't know what would happen to the show because those were like the first two sites to really get behind this program and support us.
Build momentum.
Yeah.
Would have grown glacially instead of meteorically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So.
And it was in one of the early years. I don't know. What year did you start, Tim?
1892. I started 2000 and I want to say 2005.
So it was probably around then, because I think it was a post from Greg Taylor that if you're not listening to Bienal of America, you're missing some, you know, some paraphrasing, real heavy shit.
If you're not listening, if you're not listening to Bienal of America, you're living your best life.
That could have been it. That could have been it. But you know, there's a few sure bets you can get with Bienal of America. You can always count on Ruxgiving. You can always count on the end of the shout out to Bruce Rux. You can always count on the Stan Friedman end of year special.
Yeah.
You can always count on the weird baseball episode I don't understand. Because baseball.
Not anymore, you can.
Go sports.
Yeah, we don't do the baseball show
anymore. Yeah, it's been a couple years.
It was too hard. I had to, like, there was like seven of us. And I had to schedule everybody.
It
was a nightmare.
Okay, what are your guesses? Okay, I got to put those in a chart.
Right,
yeah. It was like a pool.
And it was like, it was like 2 weeks. Yeah, there was like 2 weeks at the end of March every year that I was like... hassling people to try and get them to tape like a little 15-minute, and then just to edit it all—it was a nightmare.
And so Skype falls apart after about three people, so.
Right?
But other than that, you know, all bets are off, and I'm a all bets are off kind of guy. And you know, Tim's just dove in headfirst to this. He's been that gateway drug for me. I discovered Radio Mysterioso through him. I've discovered Where Did the Road Go through him. You know, it's kind of the same way I discover new music. You know, I find the music I like, and then I find out their influences, and I backtrack from there. And it's been a very organic experience for me, and I'm sure it's been that way to a lot of people. So I, for one, from really, you know, without getting too sappy, I'm not a very sappy guy.
Yeah.
I really want to thank you without burning your cigarette on my hand.
Oh, thank you.
And I will say, as a professional Trilby fedora wearer, Tim wears a mean Trilby fedora.
I roped Tim into...
What you found? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I roped Tim Banal into purchasing a hat from Meyer the Hatter, which is three generations worth of hats from New Orleans, I believe, founded in 1859.
Obscenely expensive.
It's the hat store in the South.
Cadillac of hats.
Yeah, it's like a Cadillac.
There you go.
Like three figures, four figures?
No.
How much you smell in your hat? I was like, I'm not.
All right,
he's quitting.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I've never paid for his Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
still going into hats. Or one hat.
It was $180, folks.
That's not so much.
That's a fucking hat.
But here's the thing: it was a hat experience. Like they fitted you for the
yes,
hat.
Yes, yeah.
It
yeah.
wasn't like, oh, you like that hat? Go out here. You look at ass.
Right, right.
I don't care.
Goon.
Yeah.
It was $90 a day before you lost it.
I know, yeah. I genuinely thought I actually had bought a $180 hat that I lost the next day. Yeah, I was like, I am such a fucking moron.
And then Tim shows up about 2 hours ago and was like, oh yeah, it was under my chair.
Dude, that hooks up. Yeah, well.
Like anything in the paranormal, it pops up when you least expect it.
To be fair, Tim is staying in the John Wick Hotel. it looks like either a rap video or like John Wick's going to shoot you in the head.
It's a wild one. Yeah, yeah.
Or purgatory.
I don't know if I told you, you'd love it because they show the same movie. It's like the black and white movie that plays in the elevator.
Which one?
It's a TV show called The Saint.
And they just play it like on a loop, and they said they change it like every 4 months.
Oh, okay.
So it's like if you
do another episode.
Yeah.
Dude, that'll get people.
Ow. That's like, ow. Okay, who's Steve? Steven Jackson Ray.
I already spoke. I spoke like third.
Let's quick catch his dad
on
the hot seat.
Oh, shit. Okay. Sorry.
Catch his dad.
I would like to know that there are new books out on the Sea People released in 2017, though, for anyone who missed it. Speaking of Ruxgiving, fresh Sea People books are out.
So we're fresh out of Fars, right?
We're fresh out of Fars.
Far.
I would like to dedicate one thing to my wife. She has fallen to sleep to Tim's voice many, many times, as well as Greg's voice, probably Soraya and Kutch's voice.
And she goes right to sleep, and Zach can sneak out.
No, actually, putting on my teacher voice, I should say Zach falls asleep. I stay awake listening to what's going on. Next
I have a very soothing voice, Tim.
Thank you.
And I'm like, didn't we just listen to this the night before? Over and over and over till he gets to bed.
There you go.
I'm a strong believer in subliminal podcasts.
Exactly.
So one of those little pillow speakers.
We're fresh out of Fars. Any questions on the speaker? Y'all good?
Well, let me just jump in here.
Don't you want to blame this evil man for ruining your son's life?
Your well-born son?
Exactly.
Here comes Mama Kutchin.
Oh, God.
You ain't gonna get this on Where the Road Go. My mom.
There you go. Mrs. Kutchin.
My mom is gonna dress down the Serotic Pirate that she just met like 4 days ago. Yeah.
Where'd the road go? Down the list.
Wait a minute. You guys gotta listen to this.
Oh.
No, I first encountered Greg.
It's like a wedding right
it,
now.
It, right? It is. At Josh was home, and Josh says, "You're going to be meeting all these people. You want to Skype with Greg?" And I'm like, I mean, not Greg. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh.
Bishop of America, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he said, you're going to be meeting all these people. He says, you want to Skype with Tim? I said, yeah. So I think I actually had already gotten myself ready for bed or something and had to put on a sweater so that I would look like I was dressed. But, yeah, I met him and I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. actually meeting him down here, he's a great guy, a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Oh, jeez.
And I know all. Wow. Yeah, you thought
she
I was,
doesn't you, know you at all.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Like,
no,
you
really.
Remember the other name?
I do remember the other night when you were trying to grope that waitress, but that's okay. No, he really is. He's a scoundrel, but he's a really, really good guy.
Thank you. I like that. I like that description.
Scoundrel.
And yes, I do hold him totally responsible. Well, not totally responsible, but somewhat responsible. And McGill's giving me a thumbs up for corrupting my son and leading him down this strange path that I think's wonderful.
Oh, there's my hat.
Nice. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Tip it all.
Well,
Solo of,
I'll say this. I guess this is a good segue, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
Because now Big Daddy Cutchin's coming over. But I guess that's a good segue because it's awesome that Josh's parents are here. And, you know, like I already said, you know, how lucky I am. And, you know.
No.
I gotta thank my folks, man. Like, you know, they supported me. They let me do this crazy shit. You know, they probably thought, why the fuck did I spend all that money send this asshole to Syracuse University? And he's down there in the fucking basement talking about UFOs. But they, you know, they never waver. And, I miss my dad a lot. He passed away, you know, in the middle, you know, back, 11 years ago, and we were doing the show. I mean, this is when we were doing the show, and we stopped doing it for, like, a couple weeks. But, yeah, I miss him every day, man. And I was saying to Kutch in the car yesterday, for as great as this fucking run has been, I traded it all in for one day. Just to be with my dad again. So, and my mom has, you know, just been hugely supportive of all this. And they're both like larger than life people. I've lived in their shadow for so long. So when people say, well, you're just like out of control and all, you know, it's like I just was raised by just giants, man, just real giants. And I can't thank them enough, you know, for supporting me all these years. So.
Yeah. We are all on the shoulders of giants.
I promise y'all I'd cry, so there you go.
There you go. I'll get one more out of you before the show's over.
Well, your dad's looking down on you right now, very, very proud.
Thanks,
man. Proud
of
what all you've done.
I mean, as proud as the dad of a UFO guy can be.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're proud of you, Josh.
Good thing you
like it. A low threshold.
As I was saying.
Well, I'll just say as the oldest fart here that it's been refreshing to meet a bunch of people that I, as a young child, started reading all the ghost books I could find by Nancy and Bruce Roberts of the Carolinas, and followed it up with reading lore about the Devil's Tramping Ground in Siler City and all other anomalies in North Carolina, South Carolina. And I don't know, I guess between me and his mom, we pass it on to Joshua. Because that's the kind of books Joshua would start asking for. And I'm extremely, she and I are both extremely proud of these folks with whom he's associated. I have spent the weekend with them. Not many times have I met a finer group of individuals. Of course, that's coming from an attorney. So take it for what it's worth. No, they're really a great group.
Are we on trial?
No, no, you're not on trial. Besides that, you're not guilty. but again, I look forward to hopefully crashing again in future years. We've thoroughly enjoyed it. And anybody that doesn't come, you're missing out. That's all I can say. But it's good to meet a lot of people that think about the paranormal much as I do. And as I listened to the presentations today, one thing came to my mind, and that is people should never mock anything of what they are not certain. And they need to take it all with a grain of salt and an open mind, which unfortunately 90% of the people don't do nowadays. So bravo to you and your great run.
Thank you, sir.
Should have had him on as a guest.
I know.
Gotcha Senior, attorney of law. His client is George Soros, I believe.
Okay, so full disclosure.
The power.
Because I want you to hear about it. You're in trouble now. Amazing things with the mic.
Hello, Mrs. Scotch.
Hello.
I'm Mrs. Scotch.
Sorry, well, yes. Well, this is the wife Kutchin, not the mama Kutchin. To be differentiated. I would just like to say that, it is nice to meet everyone. And this is my first official, Tim Benall experience, and he is not disappointed from all the stories I've heard from him. We are very tight. Very, very tight. You don't remember, but we are.
Oh, no.
He's told you the same story like twice.
We've had the same conversation two nights in a row now.
Oh,
shit. It's a damn good story.
Yeah, it's a great conversation, but we've had it multiple times. That's all right.
There's been a lot of drinking this weekend.
In New Orleans with Paramania? No, not at all. Not at all.
I feel blessed to meet people I would have never met before otherwise, and I am soaking up all the knowledge and all the information I can via Josh and Tim and all the friends that are here, and this is great. This is super fun. Anybody who hasn't come to Paramania totally should. That's all I got.
Well put.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what we do next year.
It's a lot better than what I heard in my hotel room last night.
What's that?
That's
you remember.
Yeah.
You?
No.
Yeah.
So is that all the chickens?
All the testimonials?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Tim, do you have a top five list of your maybe an ad hoc?
Who's
top
in your five?
Oh, I don't even know. Yeah, it's hard to like
try.
Pick.
Try.
It's hard to pick. I mean,
what are the definitive shows?
Shows that people should hear.
Coming in on the last.
Okay, the one you enjoy the most.
Whose fault is it?
Besides mine,
the meat-eating horses.
Yeah, I mean the meat-eating horses one, the Jonestown one, I think was really, really good.
It's an important episode. Like it's actually.
Oh, and yeah. Kendall Carver. Kendall Carver.
The cruise ship stuff.
Yeah, was huge.
Portal.
Yes.
Portal guys.
Adam Davies and the Bigfoot Portal was one that we'll never forget. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you wrote that because I had heard sort of rumblings about that, but you were the one to break it in full.
Adam was kind enough to.
The Bigfoot Portal episode is a banal like classic. Yeah.
I remember he called me and he was like, "I have a story to tell you. I don't want to tell you it now. I need to hear your reaction live on the air."
That show will be played in infamy, like banal in time.
Exactly.
I was listening to that show in a hot tub. It in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I was in a hot tub listening to Tim interview Adam about the Bigfoot portal. I had to get the fuck out of the hot tub.
Connie, Bigfoot portals.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean that was I mean.
Well, the thing about that episode is that like Adam seems to be very much tracks and turds sort of cryptozoologist.
Yeah, he wouldn't. Yeah.
And to encounter that weirdness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like having Uncle Stan actually encounter, you know, some sort of weird synchronicity.
Right.
It's like that. So
Yeah, that's what stood out to me, too, because I've known Adam for years.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah, and the fact that he would even talk about it instead of going,
Right. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and it was like, I've known him for so long, this is like, I mean, sure, there's probably some skeptical people out there that are like, oh, he could have made it all up, but it's like, I've known him for so long, there's no fucking way he made that story up.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, this genuinely happened to him. I don't know what it was, but...
As Charles said, I didn't see you there. That's the best answer I've ever gotten out of somebody. I said, well, how do you know this was happening? Simple answer is, I didn't see you there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was one, because it's, like, rare that you hear a story from somebody where you're like, holy shit. Like, yeah. That one, our buddy Steve Berg, who was at last year's Paramania, he like, brings that one up all the time. You know, yeah. He wants to go out to the portal. We're hoping to go.
I want to go to Paramania 2019. Big portal.
No,
talk about crazy nothing. We don't even promise roads or electricity. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to, like, pick a favorite one. There's so many that, you know.
I think that might have been four?
That was four or five, yeah.
The
it
fact that you four. Say that you can pick is difficult for you to pick one.
Right.
It's testimony of how much fun. You have.
Do one more and you don't have to use my full name either.
It's but fine. Where is Steve Berg?
What's that?
So do one more and LA, you don't have to use my full name.
He is working.
I've already been famous. That's all I got to say.
One more.
One more show?
One more favorite show. Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Yeah. I don't know.
Your favorite conspiracy theory, you know, paranormal.
Yeah, Jim Mars and Stan Friedman were like the two pillars of the show.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've interviewed Stan probably like 15 times now. Mm-hmm. You know, like I could.
Stan's been on the most.
Maybe. Yeah. It's probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Because you get double credit because you were like on the baseball ones too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Double credit.
But yeah, I always That's probably like one of my prouder achievements, you could say, is all those interviews with Stan, because you could take them and like, you know, package that together. It's like it's probably close to like 13, 14, 15 hours of Stan Friedman. Just Stan Friedman, you know? And it's like, that's pretty awesome.
Tim, now that we have you on the show, why do you do the show? Why have you done the show?
What
prompted you?
Meaning, well, like, deep down, it's like, why are you doing this show?
Why do you care?
I'm just fascinated by this stuff. I started the show because I used to listen to Coast to Coast all the time, and I still do, obviously. You know, like they have people call in. You can call in like at the end of the show, and it was always like I have more questions. You know, I was like, well, why would I do that? I wait all that time to call in and everything. It's like I'll just directly ask these people.
Yeah,
you know, and
eliminate the middleman. And just ask them directly.
Yeah.
You get a little ticket. That's your ticket. You have to do a show, but that's your ticket to ask anybody you want, any question.
Exactly.
You want.
Yeah.
Well, within reason, I suppose.
And I mean, I'm sure you've gone through this, Craig, where it's like there were times when I would like go through like a bookstore, and I'd see a book that was interesting, and I'd be like, I can interview this person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the coolest parts of doing the show. You know.
Did people anybody ever refuse to be on the show?
Yeah.
Did you get any no's?
I got a thanks, but no thanks.
Really?
From, I can tell you.
Please.
From the guy, I forget his name, but he's like the Amelia Earhart guy. It's Tigar is the group.
Oh, yeah.
And I pitched him coming on the
fuck
show.
Fuck you, Tigar.
Jesus.
Wow. Detroit, Tigar.
That's the last episode. No one's going to
hear. Yeah, no one's going to hear this one.
Eat a dick, Tigar.
Yes. Jesus.
Your name sounds like either the worst Transformer or the best.
No, that's not his name.
Ever.
It's like
it's
group.
It's
an
organization.
Regardless, whatever. Don't get lost in the sea.
Well, still, fuck Tigar.
Yeah, but that was the only person that was ever like, thanks, but no thanks, I think he said. But
L7.
That's the only person ever who turned out doing the show.
Oh, it's just one.
Just the one that I can remember off the top of my head, yeah.
Then we can all hate just that.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people like that I email and they just don't email back, you know what I mean?
Carlos, it's radio. You don't have to raise your hand.
I just want to ask.
Within, I would say, probably, I would guess within... I guess within probably 4 or 5 years, I would guess, I don't think anybody in any form of, really, any unusual topic would have actually refused you because you had already gained a reputation as a podcaster that you had
an audience
that they wanted to reach. So it would make no sense. I mean, you literally went from the guy in the basement to the guy that people wanted to talk to you because they felt that you would give them an honest shake.
Yeah.
You were still in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
He'll always
be in the basement. Next to the dungeon.
So what's next?
That's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I don't really know yet. I have a list at home of like 10.
Can we find you online?
10 ideas of like, you know, of stuff I could do. I will say, before I get to that, I wanted to also mention my boy Greg here. He's like a brother to me, so. And he's
fist bump.
Greg, he's probably taken more drunk phone calls from me at about 1 a.m.
Yeah, my wife will stick her head out. Are you still on with Tim?
His name? 14? What is her name to 14?
When you used to call and she would answer the phone if she was
on the house
phone
or whatever,
yeah, she'd say F bombs on the line.
Yeah. So
I agree.
Well done.
Yeah. So I just wanna give you props again, man. You know, Greg's he's like a brother to me, so.
Well, so is Tim. You saved my ass when I got laid off my job.
Yeah.
He threw me a lifeline with
very
that
lucky.
Toast.
Yeah. I mean, I have a list of stuff at home, or I guess on the computer, of ideas and stuff I want to do. I mean, like I said when we started this, don't unsubscribe from the podcast feed, because you just never know what's going to happen. It's just I'm just retiring this format of the show, because like I said,
shows sitting around.
Yeah, there's I got a few lost shows.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They happen.
Yeah,
it's like I recorded that show. When was that? Oh my God! It was like 4 years ago. I hope they're not mad at me.
I think I told this story before, but I had the I'm forgetting a lot of names today, but I had the guy on who he wrote a book about people coming and discovering America before Columbus and everything.
Yeah,
and really interesting stuff. And then when I said I was out him on the show, I started getting emails from people, and they're like, you know, that guy is the former leader of the American Nazi Party, right? And I was just like, oh shit, you know, because I didn't know that when I did the interview. So you like, you know how I am on the show. I'm just like, you're awesome, man. How come I haven't heard you on any other shows?
Take the show down. You just left it because the guy.
I know. I just never aired it. I just never.
Oh, okay. He doesn't mention any of that stuff, though, does he?
No, no.
So what?
I know. Well. It's out there. Someday I'll put it out there.
We have talked about this. That's right. The Nazi guy. Yeah.
What are you looking at this for? Don't make a face. That's probably like the one like famous Lost episode. There's most of the other shows I just put them out there, you know.
All right. But you gotta have some backlog. In fact, you should probably have one. You went, oh no, I can't broadcast this, and you can do that now.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, so what's next? Like I got like I'm kicking around like 3 different book ideas, and probably like a standalone type show, I think, like a podcast that would be just like tape like 6 shows and roll them out at once or something, you know, something like that. I haven't settled into one idea yet. You know, I've just kind of
been getting into film acting lately.
Maybe you should
do some video.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, there are some. Yeah, I got some video ideas and stuff. So I mean,
Mines. Mines.com.
I don't know what that.
Fuck demonetized.
Fuck Mines. Fuck God. That's what I have
to say. You should just go to D2. Different cities around D2. The country and D2. Have somebody film D2. You drink until you lose your hat.
Oh, God. Well, we already did that for this. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have any, like, specific things. I mean, I got, like, one big book idea that Greg knows about that I haven't really dived into yet.
Paranormal, but if you do, it's going to blow up all over the place, as you say.
I think, there's a story out there that no one's talking about.
Hot tub paranormal.
No one's done yet. And so I'm thinking about doing that, but it's going to be a lot of work because this is like a serious thing. So,
hey,
yeah,
hey,
that.
Jim,
and
what are you going to be doing on Saturday, May 19th?
I'll be at the Esotericon in Halifax.
Hold on.
Halifax, Nova Scotia?
Halifax, Nova Scotia will be at the Esotericon. So,
that's
like
in
a month.
Canada, right?
Less than a month now. Yes, yes. It's up in Canada. So, and people can find out more about that at the Winter Light Productions website through Paul Kimball. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah, so I'll be doing that. And like I said, I mean, I'd like to do more with Kendall Carver. I think that cruise ship stuff is, like, really important. And
he's
so,
going cruises all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's what the next Paramania should be.
On a cruise? Oh, God.
I've never been on
a
cruise.
Oh, Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. Oh, I'd definitely do that. That would be cool.
Paramania, Bermuda Triangle?
I mean, the future's just wide open. I have no big, crazy plans. We'll still be doing the Ruxgiving, and if Stan's down for it, we'll do another holiday show, and Greg and I will do a year in review, so it's like, there'll still be...
certainly be a year in review on my show.
Right.
No matter how many people don't like it.
All that jingoism. Remember that?
So, yeah. And somebody asked why I'm stopping. It's like, it just felt like the time was right. I mean, I was talking to Miguel at the first Paramania 2 years ago, and I told him...
2 years ago.
I told him, I was like, season 10 is going to be the last one, man, because I was, you know, my job keeps me way too busy to really do a show, mm-hmm. I find. Mm-hmm.
So there was no moment when you were like,
screw
this. This is it, we're done. I'm not doing this anymore.
No, it was always like, I knew, like I said, I knew a couple years ago that this was going to be the last season.
It's been a 2-year season. Like,
right.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Like Game of Thrones and All of America have the same season release schedule.
Pretty much, yeah.
Balls. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was pretty much the...
You have to quit when you're at the top, man.
Right, and it's like I have a thing, I have like OCD kind of, where it's like 10 is the perfect number to end it
for
on.
For sure.
If I did an 11th season, I would have to probably do 15. Just to be in my mind, be okay with it, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like any doubts that I might have had. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. It's like, dude, Jim Mars died. Like, you know, we can't start a new season now, man. You know, and Stan's retiring.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like so. There's a weird sort of like feeling of finality, not just behind my show, but just in general. It's in the air. I mean, Art Bell died last week.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like there's a weird. It feels like the paranormal is going through a weird like generational change now. And so, you know, I'm happy to kind of go out. I feel like it's going out at the right time, at least as far as what we do. And like I said at the very beginning of this, it's like the show was called An All of America Audio because it wasn't such a thing as a podcast. So it's like.
So next up is Banal TV.
Exactly. It could be.
Channel.
It could
not
be.
RB.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that, you know, it never got too weird for you. Like Hunter S. said, you know, it never gets too weird for you.
No, I mean, it was never. It just became so much work, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, and God bless him, I don't begrudge any of these other shows or anything, but it's like, I don't charge any money for any of this stuff, you know? And I used to like, what's going on, Greg? Oh, all right, the thing's flickering. Are we good still? I think we're okay.
It was adjusting to the USB port.
All right. Oh, wow.
Nice. Go ahead.
So,
there we go.
Yeah, I mean, no, I got nothing else to say there. I was just like,
Banal of America is dead. Long live Banal of America.
You said that already.
Hip, hip. I know. Hey. Hip, hip. Hey.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Despite all that, looking up, if you look up,
the moon is looks half full, but it's actually it's a waxing gibbous. It's at 51.3% and growing.
It's just half empty. Come on.
Yeah. It is waxing, on the grow just like your career.
A waxing gibbous.
There we go.
Very poetic.
Not an ending, but a metamorphosis.
Whoa.
Are we still on? What's going on?
Yeah, we're still on.
I would like to hear one, you know, the thing that I remember the most of your style of this is in all of America. I am please give me that.
Eleanor P. Style? Is Eleanor P. last survivor than Stremo? Signing off.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't have much else to say, I guess.
Are we that close to ending?
Yeah, we got like 5 minutes.
Okay.
You have a drink?
Do I have a drink?
Yeah, to
no.
Have some friends.
I'm all out of drinks.
What? No, you're not. Wait.
Steve's mixing up something for me here.
Where's the Kraken?
Release the Kraken!
Release the Kraken!
I
should say, like,
careful, son.
You know, we debated like how to end the show, but it's like this is the perfect way with surrounded by friends and listeners and the people who really made this show what it is. So,
kill it.
You know. Don't tempt me, Ketch.
It's done.
Wait, one more. Ready? Hold on. Go. Do it. Yeah.
So, take a big long drag on your cigarette too.
There you go. So yeah, I mean, I really don't have anything else to say. I just want to thank everybody for indulging me in this ridiculousness tonight. You know, and for letting me take over the weekend a bit for this show. And again, I want to thank all the listeners, all the previous guests. It's been a fucking great run. I was thinking, to paraphrase one of my heroes, Ric Flair, when he retired, you know, I said, to me, it's like, don't be sad that this is over. Because I have had an amazing fucking run, man. And we have had so many laughs and so many good times. Yeah. Just be happy that we had this ride, man.
Don't
you know?
Cry because it's over. Laugh because it happened.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I have had a fucking awesome run, man. So don't be sad. It's been great. It's really been great. And it's not the end. We're going to be doing other shit. You know, there'll be other stuff coming down the pike. So, you know, thank you to everybody. And I guess for Miguel, one last time, thanks for listening, folks. And this is Tim Bedall signing off.
End of an era.
Thanks, guys.
Is all about.
It's all he's ever wanted to do his entire life.
He was one of the very, very best. He's done it all and done it better than anyone else.
That respect that he gives the fans, the respect that those fans give him has made him immortal.
There'll be those who try. There may even be those who come close, but there'll never be another.
He's just in a class of his own. He really is. He's in a class of his own.